Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In his message titled, So Very Confused, Reverend David Williams tells us that we get used to doing things in a way that makes us important and accepted by others. But God asks us to change things up by getting to know others. Listen with the fire of God's compassion and give His grace when you can. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We get used to certain ways of being. We get used to certain familiar ways of living our lives, of sharing with one another. We have familiar ways of speaking and doing that shape the culture around us. Those are the things we know. But God, in God's creative power, asks us to step past those things that are right around us, to understand that there are other souls, other ways of knowing, other ways of expressing God's life into the world that we can miss if we cling too tightly to the easy and the familiar. Our challenge is always to be transformed by compassion for everyone and everything around us. And the danger is that we will let our familiarity get in the way of our showing compassion. So right now, let's admit that we do that, that we hold on to the comfortable rather than letting the fires of the Spirit open us to compassion for the different and the new. Let's admit that together using the prayer of confession that's in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious God, we like the things we know. We enjoy being surrounded by things that mirror our assumptions back to ourselves. We like simple words that we easily understand. That keeps life nice and familiar. But as your Spirit moves in us and yearns to transform all of humankind, we are forced to encounter the unfamiliar and the different and the other. Harder still, it pulls us to love those others. We resist those changes just as we resist the radical love that calls us to be open and gracious to stranger and other and enemy. For those times we close our hearts to your Spirit, Lord, please forgive us. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. Friends, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Acts of the Apostles. I'll be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You can follow along on page 119 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's holy word. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Language is just a weird thing. It's just peculiar. Here we human beings have come up with a whole bunch of noises, and we've associated them with an array of symbols, all of which are intended to communicate meaning, to connect one human being to another. And yet, language divides us. We struggle with language, with the strangeness of different ways of thinking and understanding, with the peculiarity of forms that shift and change, bearing different meanings to different persons. Cultures all around the world have created these different language, and it means that we feel differently about things. We encounter things with different symbols that shape us. 6,000 plus different languages on the planet, if we are to believe linguists, which means it's often hard for us to convey information. And most of us, being American and all, struggle with more than one language at a time. Sometimes we struggle with just one language. Like the words in this language, in Canis kin fona quelm gerek dicten peis he abel slog. What language is that? It's Old English, did I hear? Yes, it's English. That's English. That is our language. Sounds totally familiar, right? Totally familiar. Bonus points. What's that from? Yes, bonus points, ding, ding, ding. It's been a great last week or so. It's been really good. It is from the most ancient of English stories, the primal novel, the tale of Beowulf, our language wound back 1,000 years. And what that meant, I'm going to ask for a translation. It meant, on the kin of Cain was the killing avenged by sovereign God for slaughtered Abel. And that's the funny thing, if you read Beowulf, and by reading it, I mean you don't watch that, like, that crazy, "I am Beowulf" film from the dawn of CGI. You actually read it. The book is filled with Christian imagery, which of course it was, given that this is written 1,000 years ago, when Christianity, in a peculiar sort of Conan the Apostle kind of way, had embedded itself in our faith and in the life of our language. Languages grow and they change and they evolve. And we're certainly reminded of this whenever our children use a phrase we've never heard or a word that did not exist last year. And all of that shift in the midst of all that difference can be confusing. It's so confusing. There's got to be a better way. And there have been efforts to create languages scientifically, designing them for ease of use and meaning. Let's get rid of all of this confusion and just make a perfect language. There was such an effort back in the 20th century. Esperanto. Esperanto, it was called. It was constructed by linguists to be the logical world language, which of course everyone's going to adopt because it's logical. Everyone's going to speak it. It was a language designed to be easily taught and shared. It used a mix of common words and cognates from the Indo-European family tree of languages. So it's sort of English and French and Spanish and German and Polish, with roots in Latin and the more elemental forms of Slavic language. It was rationally constructed for familiarity and ease of use. So, of course, nothing ever happened with Esperanto. Esperanto left us only a couple of books and one really weird horror movie starring William Shatner. But of course, it also left us, because it did, several different Esperanto translations of the Bible, which are bizarre to read. Like, I'll attempt this from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 in Esperanto. Kaj kiam venis la Pentecosta tago, il custit estis unanimi et in uno loco, location, I guess. Kaj subite venis a cielo, sono quasos blovego de forta vento. Kaj si plenigis la tutan domon, que el sidis. And it's weird. It's weird reading it and hearing it. It sounds sort of familiar, with carefully placed cognates rising up like handholds on a child's climbing wall. It sounds sort of familiar, you know, like in Return of the Jedi, where C-3PO's telling the story, and you're like, I know that story, even though I don't speak Ewok. But it just didn't catch. It didn't catch because it was inorganic, and I think there's something that needs to rise in our communication out of the reality of human relationship that a synthetic language just couldn't quite capture. Language is strange. And the two stories we heard from Scripture today sound off across the reality of our language, the peculiar reality that language is both the thing that unites and connects us, but also separates us from one another culturally and personally. And the first is that strange story from Genesis, the story of the Tower of Babel. And it's a peculiar tale. It's a little bit of biblical mansplaining, clearly crafted to answer the question, why are there so many peoples and languages? Please tell me that. And so we get a story back, a story with strange echoes coming from a deep history, like within it, that God, even though later on God is very, very much in the singular, God is plural here. The Godhead is the royal we. And this tale, I don't know, this tale always bugged me a little bit. I mean, here it seems like people, we've almost got it together. You know, we're together, we're united, we're working to build something transformative and wonderful, and God gets mad and smashes it down because we might be too godlike? How odd. It's just a weird one. I mentally visualize this as something like one of those space elevators, you know, easiest way to get into space. You build a counterweight and then you just move things up and down a cable. Maybe it's fabricated from carbon nanotubes because we were all working together. What wouldn't we be able to do? And it gets snapped and crashes down to Earth. And I probably visualize it this way because I read too much science fiction. But here we had a shared tongue, something that connected us, and it gets broken, and we fell into misunderstanding, and from misunderstanding, our fear of one another and our warring with one another, humankind scattered and broken and confused. And I just, you know, I'll wrap my head theologically around the Tower of Babel story at some point, but it's not today. It's still troubling. Why do that? Really? Couldn't we just build our little building? But there's also another story of language, the one that comes to us on this day in our Christian calendar, this day of Pentecost, when the fires of the Holy Spirit descend down upon the gathered disciples. And this story unmakes that pesky Babel narrative of our separateness. The Christian church, tiny at its infancy, touched by God's presence and going out into the world and speaking, and not speaking gibberish. This isn't the gift of tongues as we tend to understand it in our era, not that strange ecstatic behavior co-opted by Christianity, where someone gets up and talks in an incoherent rush of syllables and consonants. Because that, even though that has been come to be understood as a core part of the Pentecost experience, that's not unique to Christian charismatic behavior. It's part of any culture that has frenzy and ecstasy as part of a worship. You find that in shamanic practice. You find that in most indigenous cultures. If you get really, 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 really very excited after running around for hours and hours and hours, and what tends to come out is, we have kids. We know what that's like. It's like, the miracle of the Pentecost morning is different. It's not like that incoherent speech. It's that everyone hears it. Everyone hears and understands what is being said, as if the apostles found that perfect Esperanto and walked out. I was like, wow, I kind of get that, even though that's the miracle. It was the miracle of people suddenly understanding one another across cultures, across languages, understanding that something powerful was happening in that message. Because Pentecost at its heart is about the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in and through those who have committed themselves to following the path of Christ. And at the beating heart of that is compassion, is love, is that bridge which spans the existential divide between cultures and persons in a way that language alone can't. The gift of Pentecost is that capacity for connection and understanding and sharing a fundamental awareness of the other. Language is only a small part of that connection. You might have the very best words of all, but if you don't have compassion, they don't mean anything. Language is only a part of our connection to one another. I knew a man years ago who was a regular attendee of a program that I worked with, that I talked about a bunch at my dear old home church. This was the 7-9 Club. I still have my membership card for that club. It was a fellowship program for the indigent mentally ill, and it shaped and formed me. And it wasn't formally therapeutic. You were told early, don't come here expecting to be the savior of people. Oh, I'm going to come here. I'm going to fix people because I am so wonderful. The goal was just to be a place to be present for human beings living with the dual crosses of poverty and mental illness. They came from St. Elizabeth's. They came from group homes. They came in from off the street. And your job was to make the coffee and to organize bingo and other entertainment. And when we had talent shows, which was every other month, you would clap and applaud for people who were really, really pretty impressive. Be there with open arms. And I got to know a man, and his name was Jay, that's just the initial. And he was deeply schizophrenic. He couldn't express himself in anything other than this jumbled word salad. His speech was confused, and he knew it. And I would sit with him, and I would listen to him, and you could catch that frustration as he could neither express himself nor compose this tumbling churn in his mind as recurring patterns of obsession and symbols torn from reality would war within a soul that yet was still a person. He was still himself. And so I took time with him. I would pour him a cup of coffee and I would listen to him talk, and honestly, most of the time I did not know what he was talking about. And at times it was hard for me to stay focused amidst the chaos of his mind, amidst that fire. But I sat and I listened anyway. And after a while, there was one conversation in particular. We talked several times, and I was listening, and I could hear this thread of concepts weaving together. It was worming in his mind. And so I asked him a question about it, because I had been listening. And he just stopped dead and looked at me in surprise and was like, yeah. And then gave me an answer I only partially understood, but what mattered to him in that moment was that I had gotten a bit of him, a bit of what he was struggling with, and he was startled and pleased at that, because he was used to being tuned out, to no one listening, to being isolated in this echo chamber of his soul, and that someone had actually bothered to take the time to hear his words as part of him mattered. That may not be Pentecost speaking, but I was blessed to be able to do some Pentecost listening in that moment. Because it's there that lies the gift of Pentecost to our confused and confusing world. Not the gift of language, of these words we use to convey. Because those same words can be used to hurt and shatter and divide. It's that gift that underlies them, the quality that gives them their purpose, the reason for speaking that underlies and transcends our language. It is that gift of listening and speaking out of the heart of grace and compassion, our openness to strangers, to the different, to those who are other than us. On this Pentecost Sunday, let those fires, the fire of God's compassion, rest upon you. Let it shape your speaking. Let it doubly shape your hearing. And let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It is so easy to misunderstand. It's so easy to be misunderstood. We know this amongst one another, even though we all technically speak the same language. Anybody ever said something to someone else and had it heard the wrong way? That ever happened? It's like every third email you send is like that. And it's all the same language. The challenge in understanding one another comes when we don't hear the words coming to us with a heart of compassion and grace. When we hear with our own anger or with our own fear, that's all we'll encounter. But when we open ourselves to listen to the other with a heart of compassion, that is where understanding begins. And it is that compassion that is the reason we're all red today. We're all fired up with it. So what I will ask in this week to come as you step out of this Pentecost Sunday is to listen with that fire of compassion. Let that fire of compassion burn away the unpleasantness you might want to hear in the voice of another, and instead allow you to listen to their hope, listen to how they're trying to connect. Wherever there is that place, let the Spirit guide your understanding, because that is what shapes and bends this world towards grace and goodness. That is our path and purpose and the fire we're trying to spread in the world. So be that fire this week. Let it be your voice. Let it be your ears. Let it shape the world around you and change it. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us. today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.